Chapter 12. The gas station night cashier was a willing kid, pretty smart, and certainly young enough to be right at home with technology. He hit a button and made the fourth camera's feed go full screen on the LCD monitor. He hit another button and brought up plus and minus signs next to the time code. He showed Sorensen which arrow on the keyboard matched which sign. He told her to hold the arrows down to make the recording jump backward or forward in 15-minute segments, or to tap them once to make it run backward or forward at normal speed. Sorensen started by jumping the recording all the way back to just before midnight. Then she let it run. She and Goodman crowded shoulder to shoulder in front of the screen and tried to make sense of what they were seeing at the edge of the shot. The picture was vague and soupy, like cheap night vision, but gray, not green. Headlights flared and burned. The cinder block bar had no cars parked outside, but Missy Smith's lounge had at least three. There was nothing visible through the gap between the buildings.
"Does this thing have fast forward?"
Sorensen asked.
"Hold down the shift key,"
the kid said. Sorensen sped through the next 5 minutes. The time code hit 30 seconds before midnight. She tapped the arrow for normal speed and watched. Nothing happened at the cinder block bar. But customers started coming out of the cocktail lounge, vague human shapes, grays on gray, smeared by the oily motion of the digital video. They climbed into cars, lights blazed, cars reversed, cars swooped forward. Most of them went south. Last thing out through the lounge's front door was a stout shape that looked female. It climbed into what Sorensen took to be a Cadillac and disappeared. 2 minutes past midnight. "That was Missy Smith," Goodman said. The neon in the windows clicked off behind her. The edge of the screen stayed quiet for 16 more minutes. Then, at 18 minutes past midnight, there was a moving flare of light in the gap between the lounge and the bar. Headlight beams on bright, almost certainly, projecting forward from a car approaching over rough ground, from the left of the screen, from the south, over the crushed stone behind the buildings. The beam slowed, and then paused, and then turned tight through 90 degrees towards the patient camera, whiting out briefly as they hit the lens head-on, and then they continued their lateral sweep and came to rest out of sight behind the lounge. "That's Sam," Goodman said. "Has to be." Sorensen used two fingers and toggled between the forward and backward buttons and isolated the brief sequence where part of the car was visible in the gap. There wasn't much to see. Just the bright lights and a blur of a three-quarter view of what must have been the car's hood behind them. And then the flash as the lights hit the camera directly. And then a blur of what must have been the car's driver's side flank. And then nothing as the car parked out of sight and killed its headlights. The car had looked a light luminous gray, which could have been red in real life.
"Okay," Sorensen said. "They drove north from the scene of the crime, and they pulled into the back lots at the south end of the strip, and they drove all the way up behind the buildings, and they parked at the lounge's back door, and they switched vehicles. We need to know what kind of car was waiting there, so we really need to talk to that waitress."
"Too early," Goodman said. "The waitress didn't get off for another 12 minutes. They must have been long gone by then."
"You never worked in a bar, did you? We've established that, right? The owner had already gone home. The cat was away so the mice could play. The staff is paid for 30 extra minutes, but they don't necessarily work for 30 extra minutes. They get through as fast as they can, and then they get the hell out of there. She could have been leaving right at that moment. And even if she wasn't, she could have been in and out the back with trash or empty bottles."
"Okay," Goodman said.
Sorensen said,
"Let's see how long our window is before they leave again."
She tapped the forward arrow, and the time code started spooling onward again. She counted in her head, 5 seconds for them to get out of the Mazda, 5 seconds to unlock the new vehicle, 5 seconds to get in, 5 seconds to get settled, 5 seconds to start it up. She leaned closer to the screen and studied the angled view into the gap, ready to see the new vehicle crawl left to right across the empty space as it prepared to loop north behind the cinder block bar on its way back to the road. Its lights would be tangential to the camera's fishbowl field of view. There would be no flare, no whiteout. There would be at least one frame where most of the vehicle's front-to-back length would be clearly captured. It might be possible to determine make and model. It might even be possible to guess at color. Sorensen watched and saw nothing. No vehicle slid north through the gap. Not in the first minute, or the second, or the third, or the fourth, or the fifth. She hit fast forward and raced onward. Nothing happened. The picture stayed immobile, a tableau, a still life, absolutely no activity at all, uninterrupted for almost 15 whole minutes, until a random pickup truck drove by on the two-lane heading south and crossed with a random sedan driving north. After that brief blur of excitement, the screen lapsed back to stillness. Sorensen said,
"So where the hell did they go? South? Behind the buildings? All the way back to the other end of the strip?"
Goodman said, "South makes no sense at all."
"I sincerely hope you're right," Sorensen said.
She pictured in her mind her Hail Mary roadblocks on the interstate, hundreds of miles apart, each one of them complicated and expensive and disruptive, each one of them a potential case-breaker or career-breaker, depending on results or lack of them. Gamble.